Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:40 in that specific summer time. Well, today is May 26th, so it was a day off yesterday for both the US and the UK. And markets opening up again here after the short holiday. What we have is China moving to a new recovery high. That's following a brief consolidation, which had a relatively similar size to the one we saw between December and January. So often with a trend, you'll see that the size of the reactions is often one of the most consistent things, because people will say, well, how much of a drawdown am I willing to accept? And then they would look and say, well, the last time it pulled back was by this much, so I'll just have my stop a bit larger than that. And what we've seen now is a breakout. So this market has now rallied pretty impressively the last 2 weeks to break out. It's still really very overextended relative to the moving average, and it's if you look at something like the A-share index or the CSI 300, it's really not that far away now from the all-time highs from back in 2007. Now, this has just been an explosive breakout, which has been predicated first on the Shanghai-Hong Kong Connect, the overhaul of the regulatory environment, and also lowering interest rates. They're doing whatever they can to inflate asset prices because the property market is continuing to weaken, and of course that is by design. Well, while China was really quite firm in here today, and the Nikkei was up by about 0.12%, probably the Japanese market will be a little bit firmer tomorrow, because the yen today is weaker by over a yen and a half. Well, we haven't seen this kind of weakness on consecutive days by the yen for quite a while, but now you see that the yen is breaking out of what has been a 6 month range. This is a reassertion of the dollar's uptrend. And it isn't just the yen that the dollar is firming against, but this is really a very clear breakout for the dollar against the yen. Should be positive generally for the export sector in Japan, and there is the prospect of the inverse correlation between the yen and the Nikkei picking up once more. Well, the euro was also weaker in here today. The euro was weaker by over an additional, it's closing out at just under 1 cent down on the day. It's down to 108.79. It was as high as 111 last week, so this is continuing to pull back from the region of the 200-day moving average. The pound was also a bit weaker in here today, down 84 ticks. It's down to 153.86. And the Canadian dollar by over a cent, the Australian dollar by under a cent weaker. This is broad-based strength for the US dollar. There is this continued anticipation of when the Fed will raise rates. It's not really that, from the perspective of whether one is guessing it's going to be June or September or October, November or December, what we can see is that it's most likely that the Fed is going to be the first central bank to raise rates, and that's positive for the dollar. Regardless of the fact of when, the prospect that it will be the first to raise rates, that's already being priced into the market, and that the interest rate differential, having gone one way for the last decade, is likely to start moving back in favor of the US dollar over the next couple of years. That's perhaps one of the most important things for the dollar over the medium term. With the euro weakening, we haven't had the inverse move in the European stock markets as of yet. We had a nice bounce on on most of the European markets over the last week, but the DAX was down today by an additional 1.6%. We're continuing to see a bit of weakness in Europe, and perhaps the reason for that is because of what's happening in Greece. The Greeks are basically saying that they're tapped out. They just haven't got any money left, so that they won't be able to make the IMF payment in June. Well, that's a little bit different from the type of activity that we've had. This brinksmanship is continuing to go on, but the question then is it really brinksmanship if you haven't got the money? Well, then the necessity of additional reforms in Greece is still the demand that is being made by its creditors, and they don't appear willing to make any additional concessions. that is perhaps the reason that the stock markets in Europe aren't responding as they have over the last 6 months to the weakness of the euro. Well, when we then go and look at the US, at the Dow, the S&P and the Nasdaq were all down over 1%. That's the S&P having hit a new all-time high last week, pulling back into the range. Well, we haven't seen it sustain an upward break for a while. It's been largely range-bound for much of the last 6 and 7 months, and really mostly since the Fed stopped its quantitative easing program. If what we've seen previously is going to be replayed here, then we're going to see it come back and test the region of the 200-day moving average and the progression of the higher reaction lows. It's then a question of whether it's going to find support there once more and bounce. It's a very similar pattern that we have for the Dow and the Nasdaq. And perhaps the major indices that is exhibiting relative weakness is the transports. The Dow Transports Index broke down below the 200-day moving average last week and extended the decline this week, and it's being led lower by airlines. Well, one would think that airlines should be doing very well, and of course they did do very well. They did fantastically well in the first part of this year, to such an extent that if you were to book a ticket in here today, you can see that they still have the fuel surcharges on those tickets, even though the fuel prices have come down a lot. Well, it's opening up the possibility that there's going to be a price war, that there'll be one company, at least one company, will decide that they can gain comparative advantage by surviving on a slightly lower margin. We haven't had a price war in the airline sector for a while, but what we are seeing is that there is extraordinarily high commonality within the sector. In fact, there is no airline that is going up. An example would be JetBlue, which is really very overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. It posted a downside weekly key last week and followed through to the downside this week. So a process of mean reversion at the minimum is unfolding. But among the airlines that did not accelerate upwards, you can see that they're breaking down. So this is potentially not a very benign environment for the airline sector, and probably largely due to their own making. Well, oil prices were weaker as well in here today. With the dollar stronger, the commodity environment was weak right across the board. So oil was down an additional $1.40. Brent crude was down 1.160. Gold down $15, platinum down $23, and silver down 34 cents. Copper was also down about 3.5 cents. With the dollar continuing to strengthen, well, then this isn't particularly good news for commodities. But what we've seen is that both the gold price and the oil price have encountered resistance in the region of their respective 200-day moving averages, and they really do need to get back above those levels to, I guess, reignite investor demand beyond the very short term. Well, with the dollar strengthening and the equity markets a little bit softer, this is another day where the 30-year was up by two full points, and as I've been mentioning in just about every audio, this is pretty extraordinary that you're getting these two-point moves happening a couple of times a week over the last 2 and 3 weeks. What it suggests is that there is indecision within the market, and if you look at the price chart, that the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average has been unwound, and that prices are finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average. When you go back and you look at the yield, I'm just pulling up the chart now, that you're seeing a pretty similar story in reverse, that the progression of lower rally highs was broken, that now the 30-year is coming back to test the region of the 200-day moving average, and that it could come a little bit lower from here. But what we did see earlier this year was the failed downside break to new all-time lows, the higher reaction low in March, and provided that low in the region of 2.5% holds, then the Then potential for additional higher to lateral ranging, which would be medium term supply dominance, would have to be the base case. But in the short term, we're going to see a test of a level between here and there. Well, the other interesting thing that we saw in here today is that the biomass, the artificial photosynthesis, the application of solar to the transportation fuels sector is becoming increasingly powerful. I've posted a number of articles about this in here today, and this really is the game changer for the next 10 years within the energy sector, that we could have depressed energy prices for, they might be volatile, but that we're unlikely to see a major spike to the upside in the absence of a major geopolitical event. And even then, it would be temporary, that we could probably see energy prices ranging for the lengthy medium term. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.